know about stuff like that. She didn't even know how to rehab a motel. Still, if the movers and shakers here at the beach wanted to give their town a popularity boost, it seemed like they'd have to do something. She noticed a large chunk of vacant property on the north end of town when she was driving around with Sabrina. Not a bad location for a convention center. Never mind that, she told herself. You've got your hands full with the driftwood. And her daughter, who was probably going stir-crazy by now. Jenna vowed to play a game with her as soon as she'd priced carpet. Life was so much easier when Sabrina was smiling. Speaking of smiling, or not, who was that woman on the other side of the table with the taupe hair and dark roots and cat-eye eyeliner? She was young, thin, and hot, and she looked like she'd rather skewer Jenna than get to know her. Tyrella followed Jenna's gaze. That's Rianne Lachelle. She owns Sandy Claws, pet toys and supplies. Tyrella lowered her voice. I think she and Brody might have had a thing once, and based on the looks she's giving you, she probably sees you as competition. Probably every single woman in town is competition, Jenna murmured, making Tyrella chuckle. He does appreciate women, especially good-looking ones, Tyrella added, giving Jenna a nudge. Yeah, that was what she needed. Another potential cheater. Not. Once lunch was half-eaten, Brody called their meeting to order.
For those of you who haven't met our guest today, this is Jenna Jones, Edie Patterson's niece. She's going to be managing the Driftwood Inn.
About time somebody did something with that dump, muttered a thin, middle-aged woman in slacks and a pink blouse. Her hair was as thin as the rest of her, and she had frown lines carved into the sides of her mouth. Who the heck was she? Who cared? She wouldn't be anyone Jenna wanted to hang out with, obviously. Brody cleared his throat and moved on.
Can our secretary read the minutes from our last meeting?
Sydney Redman had her iPad ready and began to read. As she did, Tyrella leaned over and whispered, Don't pay any attention to Susan Frank. She's a pill. What business does she own? Jenna whispered back.
Beach Babes.
No wonder she was cranky. That store was an embarrassment to clothing stores. Cindy finished reading the minutes from the last meeting, and the treasurer, Ellis West, gave his report. Brody thanked him, and then, after old business had been covered, it was time to discuss the upcoming event, the Sand and Surf Festival, which took place at the end of the month.
We've got all our vendors in place, reported a stylishly dressed older woman named Wilma Spike, who owned the consignment store.
But we'll need to get a handle on the garbage thing, put in the frowning Susan. All those out-of-towners are going to spread litter everywhere.
I think we'll need to do what we do on the 4th of July and get volunteers to go along the beach and pass out garbage bags, said Nora Singleton, who'd slipped in late.
Susan shook her head in disgust.
People are so inconsiderate. How would they like it if we went up to their towns and littered everywhere?
This was obviously a rhetorical question, and discussion continued, with members reporting in on everything from reserved porta-potties to who would be judging the sandcastle contest.
It sounds like fun, Jenna said to Tyrella.
It is! Your daughter will love it.
I hope so. At least that was something Sabrina could look forward to. The meeting broke up, and after a little more chit-chat, the members began to scatter, heading back to their various businesses.
Don't forget to come in for your free latte, Rita said to Jenna.
That's how she gets you hooked, Nora teased. I'm glad you came today, she told Jenna. Don't know why I didn't think to invite you myself. Good for you for thinking to, she said to Tyrella.
We can always use fresh blood, Tyrella said.
Yes, we can. I hope you're going to join.
Nora was looking expectantly at Jenna.
Well, she hedged.
I know, you're still finding your feet, Nora said.
We'll give you one more meeting, Tyrella told her, and grinned. Then we'll reel you in. It's only $40 to join.
Jenna needed to hang on to every dollar she had. She nodded politely.
I'll pay your membership for this year, Nora said to her.
She may have been poor, but she wasn't a mooch.
No, I'll pay.
You can pay next year, after the motel's up and running.
Jenna hoped they could stay afloat until the next year. She thanked Nora, said goodbye to Tyrella, skirted around crabby Susan, and then left to go see what kind of bargain she could find on carpet. Ben Samuels, the head carpet guy, was a good-looking middle-aged man with the kind of muscles that could probably lift a roll of carpet as easily as if it were a roll of paper. He had a friendly smile when Jenna introduced herself, which she hoped was a symptom of a big heart.
"Actually, I got a call from Brody. I've been expecting you to drop by. Got some remnants I think might work for you."
"Great," she said, and followed him past several aisles of carpet rolls and vinyl and laminate samples.
"I don't think I've got enough of the same for all of your rooms, though," he added, and her heart sank. "But," he continued, "I do have an idea."
"I'm open to ideas." He took her over to an area where the size of the carpet rolls were considerably smaller, unwinding one in brown.
"Can't go wrong with Stainmaster," he said, "and brown won't show the dirt."
Then he turned to another hunk of carpet. This one was blue. Dark blue. Very, very blue.
"This one's not bad either," he said.
It sounded to Jenna as if he was trying to convince himself as much as her. And then there was... yikes. Not the most diplomatic reaction, but it just slipped out of her. "Sorry, I didn't even know they made orange carpet anymore."
"Yeah, I know," said Ben, "and we've got some black."
Black and blue, brown and... ugh, orange.
"So, here's my thought. You could do the rooms in different colors and have different themes. Some could be your sunrise rooms."
Jenna had to smile. "Don't tell me, let me guess. That would be the orange carpet?" He smiled back and shrugged.
"You've got the sandy shores rooms with your brown, the seaside rooms with the blue."
"And the black?" Ben grunted and rubbed his chin.
"Maybe we got enough of the other colors that you won't need it."
"Otherwise, the rooms with that will have to be the stormy sky rooms," she joked. But it was a good idea. "I could decorate to match the carpets. Maybe a framed picture of a sunrise in the sunrise rooms. Hang some starfish in the sandy shores rooms."
"You get a lot of good home decor at garage sales down there. People are always selling off lamps filled with shells and clocks shaped like boats."
"It's a great idea," she said with a smile. Then her smile faded a little. "But how much?"
"Come on, let's go back to the counter and do some calculating," he said.
Once he'd finished, she found herself wishing he had a different calculator. She could barely afford paint. How was she going to pay for this carpet? He must have seen her chewing her lip because he said,
"Why don't we set you up with a payment plan? Give me a couple hundred down to seal the deal."
"Oh, God bless you. That would be great."
"Hey, I'm happy to help. We get a lot of business from all of you down there, and I want to see you all succeed. We can cut labor costs if you take up the old carpet yourself and haul it away."
20 rooms worth of old carpet. By the time she was done, she'd be as buff as Ben. She nodded. "I can do that." She could do anything if it meant saving money. She left the carpet store armed with determination and excited by the challenge. Making each room unique would be fun and a great way to express her creativity. Sabrina would probably enjoy helping her with that, and it would give her something to do. Her carpet and decor plan met with her aunt's approval when she shared it at dinner that evening.
"What a cute idea!"
Even Sabrina looked pleased when Jenna offered the use of her old digital camera and suggested she take some pictures for them to use. She wasn't smiling when Jenna got down to the how-tos of room transformation, though, looking at her mother as if she was nuts as Jenna went on to talk about moving out the furniture and pulling up carpet.
"Gross," she said in disgust.
Pete, who as usual had joined them for dinner and was enjoying Aunt Edie's shrimp casserole, wasn't any happier.
"I've got a bad back, you know."
"I've got a bad back," Jolly Roger repeated from his kitchen perch. "Gimme whiskey! Gimme whiskey!"
"Don't worry," Jenna said to Pete. "I've got plenty of Advil." Both Pete and Sabrina pouted.
"Come on, guys, how about some team spirit?
We can do this, and think how much fun we'll have decorating and how cute the rooms will all look when we're done.
I'll be dead by the time you're done, Pete muttered.
It has to be done, Jenna said firmly, making herself ever so popular with her fellow diners.
Who's for ice cream? Asked Aunt Edie, a determined smile on her face.
Poor Aunt Edie. She probably felt guilty. Sure enough, later that night, after Pete had wandered off and Sabrina had gone to the beach to take pictures, she came to Jenna's room where Jenna was reading Muriel Sterling's book and half wishing she could smack the ever-positive author with it.
I shouldn't have done this to you, Aunt Edie said, joining the dolls on the window seat.
She looked tired and sad and frail and ready to crumble. Aunt Edie had always been so full of life, so timeless. When had time caught up with her?
You didn't do this to me. You did it for me.
I really did want to help you, but truth be told, I did what I did as much for myself as you. I know the Driftwood Inn is no Hilton, but the memories it holds are priceless, and even though it's getting old, just like me, I know the place still has some life left in it. I can't let it go, Jenna. I want it to stay in our family. I want the place to have a future, a good one, with you.
It will, Jenna assured her. It was what Muriel Sterling would have said.
Well, I'm going to help you tomorrow.
Jenna had a vision of Aunt Edie keeling over with a heart attack after her first tug on the carpet.
The best way you can help is by keeping us supplied with food.
Aunt Edie gave her a knowing look.
You're just trying to get me out of the way, but I can still strip a bed.
I'd rather have you bake me cookies.
I'll do both, said her aunt, suddenly energized. She hopped up from the window seat and came over and gave Jenna a hug and a kiss. Bless you, dear child.
Jenna hugged her back, told her she loved her, and when Aunt Edie left, she'd gained a smile and shed 10 years.
You better know what you're talking about, she informed the absent Muriel Sterling. This new beginning needs to work out.
The next morning, Jenna rented a truck and mobilized the troops. Fortified with omelets and cinnamon rolls, they stripped the bed in the first room and began to move out the furniture. They'd barely gotten the box spring mattress out when Pete announced that he'd pulled something. Jenna took a small bottle of ibuprofen from the back pocket of her skinny jeans and handed it over.
Here you go. Eat up.
He glared at her, shook out 2 pills, and downed them with a swig from his water bottle.
Think how fit you'll be by the time we're done, she told him.
You're trying to kill me, he said,
in no mood to consider his future fitness. She smiled and walked back into the bedroom, passing her daughter, who was coming out with a lamp, on her way to the office where they were going to stack and store everything until the new carpet could be laid. When they ran out of space there, they'd have to use Aunt Edie's garage. Alice West left the grill at the seafood shack and, along with one of his workers, lent a hand. But even with the extra help, moving furniture took all morning. After lunch, goodies from the seafood shack. Thank you, Ellis. Jenna gave Pete and his bad back the afternoon off. She sent Sabrina to the laundromat with Aunt Edie to wash bedclothes while she started tackling pulling up carpet.
She tugged and grunted, turning the air as blue as some of the carpet remnants she'd bought.
She just tugged hard enough to send her flying onto her backside and let loose with a word that would have inspired her mom to wash out her mouth with soap when a male voice from the doorway asked,
"Having fun?"
She turned to see Brody Green leaning against the door jamb. She was a sweaty mess with her makeup long gone. He looked like he'd just stepped out of the pages of GQ.
Yeah, tons of fun. Wanna join me?
I'd love to.
Liar.
I'm on my way to meet a client. Thought I'd stop by to see how you're doing.
Good. We've got paint, and we've got carpet.
You need a roof, he said.
I know, but right now all I can afford is paint and carpet. Anyway, it's summer.
And you know what comes after summer.
She frowned. Thanks for the reminder. Say, you wouldn't like to invest in a nice motel with lots of potential, would you?
He made a face and shook his head.
Sell the dump, Jenna. the values in the land.
Money isn't the only value we're talking about here, she said. We're going to make a go of this place. You'll see.
I hope you prove me wrong. I really do. But you've got a big job ahead of you.
Tell me about it.
She went back to uprooting dead carpet.
Would love to chat, but I've got work to do.
And I've got money to make. Try not to kill yourself, he said cheerfully. And when you're ready, Top Dog Roofing is your best bet, he added, and left.
He probably got a kickback for recommending them, Jenna thought cynically. Her cynicism left her when an hour and a half later, Brody returned, this time wearing jeans and a black t-shirt with a pirate flag on it.
What are you doing back here?
Saving you from getting blisters.
She held up her palm.
Too late.
He shook his head and got to work. I didn't really mean what I said about you helping, she told him, feeling suddenly guilty. She barely knew the guy. He didn't owe her anything.
I know, he said, but I can spare a couple hours. This looked like more fun than going to the gym.
Oh, it is, she said, straight-faced.
And the company's prettier.
Brody Green was a flatterer, but he was also a nice guy.
Besides, he added, your aunt and I are buds.
So even though you think she should sell, here you are helping me renovate?
If you're determined to bungee jump over the cliff, someone ought to make sure your cord's in good working condition. Anyway, I figure this will score me some points with Edie's pretty niece.
Ah, now we come to the true motive, Jenna teased.
Seems like it might be worth dinner out on Saturday.
Maybe, she said, unless Aunt Edie offers me a hot card game. He chuckled and gave the carpet a yank. They were just carrying it out of the room when a well-worn truck pulled into the parking lot.
Did you hire help? Brody asked.
No, that must be our one paying guest, Jenna said with a grunt as they heaved the carpet into the U-Haul.
You actually got someone willing to stay here? Brody sounded incredulous.
He's moving into town and needs a place to stay while he starts his new business.
Yeah?
Brody gave the truck an assessing stare.
What kind of business?
I don't know.
Probably handyman or lawn care, he said, sounding slightly snobbish. I might be able to throw some business his way.
He looked a little less inclined to be helpful once the stranger got out of his truck. He wasn't quite as tall as Brody, but he had twice the muscles. In fact, he looked like he had muscles growing on his muscles. He had dark hair and brown eyes and swarthy skin, and he made Jenna think of pirates. Gorgeous. Sexy. He walked with a swagger. Dangerous? Why, oh why, did he have to show up when she was all sweaty? She pushed a lock of hair out of her face and called a cheerful hello. He nodded and said nothing until he was standing in front of her.
I'm Seth Waters. Are you the woman I talked to the other day?
The dumpy-looking woman. I am. You got here earlier than I expected. And you're so gorgeous. Was there drool on her chin? An eyebrow shot up and he checked his phone.
It's 4. I thought check-in's at 3.
It's 4? Already? Jenna was suddenly aware of Brody standing next to her. His friendly air had evaporated. I lost track of time. As you can see, we've been busy with our renovations. The newcomer took it in and nodded. Didn't say anything else. This is Brody Green, Jenna said. He's a real estate broker. He might be able to help you when you're ready to find a place to live.
I don't deal in rentals, Brody said rudely, and it was all Jenna could do not to kick him.
That's okay. I'm not in a hurry, said Seth Waters.
Pirate.
Jenna says you're here to start a new business.
Now it sounded like she'd been gossiping about him. I did happen to mention we had a guest arriving. Where was a fire extinguisher when you needed one? Her whole face was burning. Looking at Seth Waters, the rest of her was heating up pretty quickly, too.
I treat houses. Mold removal.
There's sure a need for that here on the water. Everyone battles it,
Jenna said. Brody didn't say anything encouraging, and she felt the need to put out the welcome mat.
You probably won't have trouble finding customers. Seniors, house flippers, realtors.
We could probably use you, Brody deigned to admit.
Seth Waters nodded in Brody's direction. Then he smiled at Jenna.
Call the fire department. She cleared her throat. Well, let's get you checked in.
I've got to be going anyway, Brody said. See you later, he said to Jenna as if they were an item.
Were they?
No.
It was too early to be an item. And besides, she didn't want to be an item with anybody. Not Brody Green or Pirate Seth Waters.
Brody drove off, and she led Seth to the office. Halfway there, she realized they'd have to make their way through a mattress canyon.
Sorry, she muttered as they clambered over furniture. Like I said on the phone...
Renovations. I get it.
She had to climb over two dressers to get to the cash register, giving him a view of her dusty bottom. She managed to lose her balance and fall behind the desk rather than land gracefully as originally intended, hitting the floor with an oomph. She righted herself and pushed her hair out of her face and apologized again. He was smiling now, mocking her. She frowned. Credit card?
I prefer to pay cash.
Cash? Cash, cash, cash. She forced herself not to jump up and down and pump air. All right, cash. In that case, I'll need you to pay in advance.
No problem. How about I pay for the first week?
Seed money.
That will be fine. She took his money, wrote out a receipt, and handed over a room key. No key cards for the Driftwood Inn. Her aunt preferred to do things the old-fashioned way. She also probably preferred to not have to spend the money updating their security system.
You're in room number 2.
Pete had the first room on the far end and had complained mightily about having to make do with an army cot instead of a bed.
Bed. Furniture.
Oh, no! Jenna's right eye began to twitch and her face was on fire again. There's just one little problem.
Let me guess. You moved the furniture out of it?
Blink, blink. I'm afraid so. And the carpet. Blink, blink, blink.
We have new carpet coming in just a few days.
New carpet. There. Wasn't that worth sticking around for and sleeping on the bare floor?
I'll give you a discount.
How about a free night? He countered.
She frowned.
You don't have a bed in the room, he pointed out.
Fine, she said grudgingly. One night free.
How about every night I don't have a bed free?
When was that carpet coming?
She hesitated.
I was kind of looking forward to having a bed.
There was that mocking smile again. If he hadn't been a paying customer, she'd have slapped him.
No. No slapping, no violence, no income if he went somewhere else. Someplace with a bed.
Okay, deal, she said, and I am sorry we're not more prepared for you.
No worries, he said. I don't need a lot.
She had to smile in spite of her irritation.
But I guess a bed would be nice.
It would, he agreed, and this time his smile was genuine.
I'm sorry the room's not in great condition yet. What were they thinking, anyway, letting someone stay in the place when it was such a disaster area?
It's okay. I've been in worse.
Jenna wondered what that meant. Had he been in some special forces unit in a Middle Eastern desert? He didn't elaborate, and she didn't ask. Instead, she said,
Thanks for being so understanding. The place really is going to be nice when we get done with it.
I believe you.
He put out a hand.
Would you like help getting back out?
Oh, yeah. That.
I can manage, she said with as much dignity as she could muster.
Okay.
He turned and started to make his way back through the mattress canyon.
Do you need me to find a cot or something for you? She offered.
No, I've got a sleeping bag. I'll be fine on the floor.
He'd be fine anywhere.
Oh, no, Jenna scolded herself. Don't go there. Don't even think about it. You are so through with men. Maybe she was just through with artists.
Chapter 8. To do, pull up more carpet. Buy a case of pain reliever cream.
We're half done, Jenna announced at breakfast, forcing energy and good cheer into her voice. It wasn't easy since she felt like she'd been run over by an entire convoy of trucks, carrying cows and lumber, bricks, manure. And today she got to do it all over again. But after today, the old carpet would hopefully be gone, and they'd be ready to start transforming the rooms.
I don't know if I can help, said Pete. My back's in pretty bad shape.
He'd looked fine when he walked in to scrounge coffee and French toast. Come on, Pete. You can do it. Don't poop out on me now. He frowned.
I could probably manage for a while, but don't expect me to work as long as I did yesterday.
Yeah, it would be awful if you had to put in 2 4-hour days in a row.
What about your kid?
He asked as Aunt Edie poured him more coffee.
Is she helping?
Yes. Once she gets up, she and Aunt Edie will be back at the laundromat, washing the last of the linens.
You should have her help us. She's still got a good back.
And I want to keep it that way. Besides, she's only 14.
When I was 14, I was pitching hay on my uncle's farm, Pete said.
Good for him. Which is why you're so strong now, Jenna said in response. She downed the last of her coffee and stood. Okay, let's go.
I was going to have another piece of toast, he protested.
You can have an extra sandwich at lunch, Jenna told him. And boy, was she going to make sure he earned it. She left Aunt Edie with instructions to haul Sabrina and the rest of the laundry to the laundromat as soon as her daughter had eaten, and then dragged Pete out the door, with him grumbling all the way. She caught sight of their new guest as they walked to their first room of the day. Seth Waters had obviously been out running. He was wearing some baggy shorts and a faded T-shirt dotted with sweat. He sure filled out a T-shirt nicely. She gave him a casual wave, and he waved back and kept on going to his room.
That's who's staying here, huh? Said Pete. Reminds me of myself when I was young. I was pretty buff back then.
I can imagine, Jenna lied. Then, to inspire him, stretched the lie a little further. You're still pretty buff. He looked at her suspiciously.
Not really.
But he did make it through the morning before he claimed to be on the verge of collapse. You should probably rest, Aunt Edie told him, as he inhaled a grilled cheese sandwich and half the bowl of fruit salad she'd made. How was her aunt managing to afford feeding this two-legged locust?
Yeah, I'm pretty beat, he said. Your niece is killing me.
I'm not asking you to do anything I wouldn't do myself, Jenna said. You should take it easy too, dear, said her aunt, looking at her in concern. I'm fine. Anyway, we need to get this done. I don't want to have to pay another day on the rental truck. Did you and Sabrina finish the laundry? Oh, yes. It's all clean and ready to go. Where's Sabrina? She loved grilled cheese sandwiches. She should have been there at the table, chowing down. She already ate, said Aunt Edie. So she's up in her room? No, she went outside. To the beach? I think so. She had to be at the beach. She knew to let her mother know where she was going, so surely she would have reported in if she was planning to ride her bike somewhere. She's fine, Jenna told herself. She was probably taking more pictures to turn into art for the rooms. And speaking of rooms, I'd better get back to the motel. Oh, dear, I do worry about you, Aunt Edie said, looking at her in concern. I'll be fine.
She's young and tough, put in Pete, not moving from the table.
Jenna shook her head and left. At least he'd put in a morning's worth of work. In fact, he'd probably done more work in the last 2 days than he'd done in the last 2 years. Sheesh. She could hardly blame Pete for not wanting to do any more. She didn't want to either, but there was no one else.
She sure couldn't ask Aunt Edie. She was crossing the parking lot to room 11 when Seth Waters drove in. He pulled a mini cooler out of his truck and started for his room. "How's it going?" she called.
"Good,"
he called back and kept going to his room, toting his cooler. Poor guy, he didn't even have a mini fridge in the room. Of course, he wouldn't have had one even if the rooms were refurbished. Jenna wasn't sure Aunt Edie even knew what a mini fridge was. They'd have to add those in the future. People liked having a place to store their restaurant leftovers. Room 11 smelled especially musty, and it was one of the ones with the worst water damage on the wall. It was a painful reminder of the looming large expense. Jenna found herself standing in the middle of the room, looking around, wishing everything was already done. What she'd give to be able to take a beach towel and spend an afternoon simply lying on the sand with a good book. Not Muriel Sterling's.
"A big job," said a deep voice, making her jump.
She turned to see Seth Waters standing in back of her. He'd exchanged the slacks and shirt he'd been in a moment ago for jeans and that same old t-shirt. He smelled like soap.
"Sorry, didn't mean to scare you," he said.
"Nothing scares me as much as looking at this mess." "That's okay. I just wasn't expecting anyone."
"No help today?"
"He has a bad back. And a lazy butt."
"He looked pretty fit to me," said Seth.
"Oh, you're talking about Brody. He just stopped in for a while. We do have a handyman. Pete, you may have seen him around."
"Old dude, not into shaving?"
"Not into working, either," Jenna muttered. Seth nodded, taking that in.
"A broomer."
"Broomer?"
"You know, a guy who stands around leaning on his broom while everybody else is working."
"That would be Pete."
"So, want help?"
"From you?" "Well, duh. Who did she think he was talking about?" "You're a guest."
"Guests help out. That's what my mom always said."
"Not paying ones." He pointed in the direction of the other rooms.
"You still got a lot of carpet left to pull."
Jenna's shoulders slumped. "Thanks for the reminder."
"How about this? I'll help you with your remodeling in exchange for a free room."
She already had one handyman getting a free room, except he wasn't very handy and she wasn't getting much work out of him.
"I have to work on my own business, but I'm going to have some free time while I'm getting it off the ground. How about I give you my afternoons in exchange for the room for the rest of the summer?"
Jenna still had carpet to pull up and a motel to paint inside and out. She did some quick calculations, weighing the pittance they'd get from the room rental against the cost of labor. Before she could answer, he sweetened the pot.
"You can keep the money I already paid up front."
All this in exchange for a room that didn't have carpet and was missing its furniture. "Deal," she said. He nodded and pulled some work gloves from his back pocket.
"Okay, let's get started."
And so they did. Seth worked hard and fast, and it gave Jenna hope that they'd be done by the end of the day, and she could haul her carpet to the dump and return the rental. He didn't seem to be much of a talker, though, other than to observe that she had taken on a pretty big project. "Bigger than I thought it would be," she confessed. "I'm new to this sort of thing, and don't have a clue what I'm doing."
"They say the best way to learn is by doing. I bet you always wanted to learn how to tear up carpet."
"Oh, yeah." And then that was it. Okay, fine. Jenna could live with that. For about 15 minutes. Then her curiosity got the better of her. Hey, they were going to be working together a lot. Couldn't hurt to find out a little about each other, right? And didn't most people chit-chat a little when they were working side by side? "Where's home for you?" she asked as they tugged carpet across a floor.
"Here."
"No, I mean before here."
"I've been around."
"So no family around here?"
"Got a brother in Tacoma."
"Maybe he'll want to come visit you while you're down here."
"Maybe."
And that was the end of that conversation. Okay, so not all men were big talkers. She got that. But this was like working with the Sphinx. She tried again when they moved to the next room.
So, what did you do before you decided to start your business? She asked as she knelt next to him. He smelled like sweat and aftershave.
Eau de man. This and that, he answered.
Seeing her looking expectantly at him, he added,
I used to be in construction.
I'm not surprised to hear that. I can't picture you behind a desk.
If I'm going to be sitting around, I'd rather be reading a book or watching a game on TV than staring at a computer.
Why'd you quit construction?
He frowned. Do you always ask your renters so many questions?
She blinked and her face flamed. No, I'm just making conversation.
Well, how about we make conversation about something else? He said shortly.
Sorry, she muttered, and gave her section of carpet a tug. He softened his voice.
Let's talk about you instead. I suspect you're a lot more interesting than me.
Not really.
Let's find out. Where's home for you?
Linwood.
How'd you end up here?
My aunt asked me to come. She needed help running the place.
So, what's a pretty woman like you doing alone?
Do you always ask your landlord so many questions? That got half a smile from him.
Just making conversation.
I'm divorced. That's what I'm doing alone. Just a little bitterness bleeding into the voice.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. Your ex is a shit.
As a matter of fact, yes. How did you know?
Because every woman's ex is a shit.
Well, that's a little biased. Are you someone's shit?
Nope,
he said and yanked up a corner of carpet. Then why are you so cynical?
I'm not cynical. I'm an observer of life.
The carpet-pulling philosopher. Well, for your information, I'm not just some unreasonably bitter ex-wife. To show his gratitude for me supporting him all those years, Damien cheated on me, and I'm paying for the privilege of being rid of him. Literally. Tar and feathers would be too good for him.
Whoa, a little anger there.
Wouldn't you be pissed?
Yeah, I would.
I swear, if I was a braver woman, I'd...
What? Shoot him? Shoot her?
Maybe.
No, you wouldn't. That sort of thing always backfires. Anyway, living well is the best revenge.
Hadn't she told herself that at one point? I guess, she said. Still, it makes me mad.
Obviously, since you just spilled your guts to a stranger.
Jenna sat back on her heels and sighed. I did, didn't I? I'm a mess.
It's okay, he said, walking the musty carpet back on itself. I'm a good listener.
You are. But that's enough of my ugly past. Let's talk about something else.
Okay. How about your future?
That will be fabulous, she said as much to herself as him. We're going to get this place fixed up, and business will be booming. My aunt will be thrilled, and my daughter and I will live happily ever after.
Sounds like a plan, he said. And what about, what's his name?
Pete, Jenna rolled her eyes.
No, the tall dude who was with you yesterday. Where does he fit in the picture?
Who knew? Jenna shrugged. She was through with men, after all. Why didn't she come right out and say that to Seth Waters?
Still gun-shy, huh?
There's an understatement.
Eventually, you gotta get out there and start living.
I'm living just fine now. He looked over his shoulder at her with a mocking smile.
Yeah?
Yeah, she said with an insistent nod.
Most people don't do well in solitary.
I'm hardly solitary, she informed him. I've got my family in Linwood and down here. I've got friends.
No friends with benefits.
Yeah, well, sex is overrated. Had she just said that out loud? He snickered.
Yup, still bitter. You'll get past it.
She was trying to think of a reply to that when Brody knocked on the doorframe.
Just stopping by to see how you're doing, he said with a smile for Jenna.
And a frown for Seth. I'm doing great, she said, standing and pushing back her hair. I got help.
I can see that.
And he didn't look all that happy about it.
Where's Pete?
He gave himself the afternoon off.
There's a surprise, Brody said. Thought I'd see if you want to go to the lighthouse for fish and chips later.
For a moment, Seth hesitated in his carpet yanking, as if waiting to hear her answer, and she felt suddenly awkward. She commanded her eye not to twitch. I think I'm going to be too pooped to do anything tonight. Brody took the refusal in stride.
Okay. See you Saturday, then.
She nodded, and he left.
Looks like things are moving along with the house peddler.
We're just friends, Jenna said, although the idea of becoming more with Brody was tempting. Rich, nice-looking, easygoing. Popular with the ladies. Maybe not. Conversation stalled out after Brody's visit, and Jenna and Seth worked on in silence for another couple of hours. At last, they were done.
Yes! Progress!
I can hardly wait to see these rooms with new carpet, she said.
You'd better paint before you put in the carpet, cautioned Seth.
Of course, that made sense. Good point. And if she'd known what she was doing, she'd have thought of it herself.
And looks like you've had some water damage. Have you had someone out to check your roof?
There it was again, the pesky roof. Not yet, but I will.
I wouldn't put that off too long if I were you.
I don't intend to, but I do need an infusion of cash for that. He nodded.
Well, maybe once you get the rooms done and the furniture back in, you can start making some money.
I sure hope so.
I'd get some tarp on that roof, though, he added.
Blue tarp, what every well-dressed dump would be wearing for summer. Ugh. She nodded. Thanks for all your help today.
No problem, he said. See you tomorrow.
Jenna watched as he sauntered off. The man was a walking work of art, and she'd have liked nothing better than to run her hands over all those gorgeous muscles. No, no. One didn't touch works of art, and one didn't get involved with men. You're working too hard, Aunt Edie fretted when she returned to the house to shower. Don't worry, Jenna told her. I brought in some muscle. I made a deal with our new resident. He's going to help with our renovation part-time while he works on getting his business up and running. Splendid, Aunt Edie said with a smile. Is he single? Jenna pointed a teasing finger at her. Don't be getting any ideas. Pete would be jealous. Jenna Jones, you are a terrible tease, Aunt Edie said, but she got the message and dropped the subject. Hopefully, she wouldn't pick it up again anytime soon. She seemed anxious for Jenna to find a Prince Charming, but after Prince Poop, Jenna was in no hurry. What's Sabrina up to now? She asked. I gave her some money to go get an ice cream, Aunt Edie said. I hope that was all right. Of course it was, but she's supposed to let me know where she's going. How long ago was that? Aunt Edie looked suddenly guilty and concerned. It was about 2 hours ago. She said she was bored, so I suggested she ride her bike down to Nora's place. She was going to be more than bored when Jenna found her. She was going to be dead. It doesn't take 2 hours to get ice cream. Fuming, Jenna marched to her car and drove down Harbor Boulevard. There was no bike parked in front of the ice cream parlor. She went to the cabana shops and looked around. No sign of Sabrina or her bike. No sign of her at the bakery or beans and books. Okay, she was fine. She was somewhere. But where? The more Jenna searched with no positive results, the more worried she became. She was ready to call the police when she finally spotted the cute little body wearing shorts and a tank top racing down the road from Beachside Burgers, light red hair flying. Okay, she was probably on her way home. But that didn't get her off the hook for not letting her mother know where she was. Jenna pulled past her, checking in the rearview mirror as she passed. Sabrina had recognized the car, and the expression on her face told Jenna she knew she was in trouble. She doubled down and pedaled faster. Jenna beat her back, pulled the car into the driveway, and then leaned against the back of the car to wait. Sabrina pulled in, opting for cheerful ignorance over contrition.
Hi, Mom,
she called as she rode up the driveway. Jenna let her dismount and walk her bike up to the garage before laying into her. Where have you been?
I just went to the ice cream parlor. Geez, Mom.
All day? You've been gone all afternoon.
I went to the beach, too.
We have beach right here in back of the motel, in case you didn't notice.
I wanted to see a different beach, okay?
The snotty voice didn't win her any points.
No, not okay. I didn't know where you were.
So what? You keep telling me what a great town this is and talking about all the time you spent on the beach. It is a great town, and yes, I spent a lot of time on the beach. But I told my mom what beach I was on. I never went wandering off.
Well, I'm back now, Sabrina informed her and tried to flounce past.
Not so fast, Jenna caught her arm. You can't be making a habit of this.
Why not? I'm 14.
The perfect age for some pervert to grab her and drive off to parts unknown.
You need to let me know where you are so I don't worry, Jenna insisted.
Sabrina rolled her eyes.
You don't care anyway.
Of course I care.
The eye rolling upgraded to a glare.
If you really cared, we wouldn't be here. I hate it here,
said the girl who'd spent the day at the ice cream parlor, the beach, and probably the arcade. Jenna was about to go into her give-it-a-chance routine, but Sabrina didn't wait.
You're the meanest mom in the world, she cried and stamped off to the house.
Jenna let her go and fell back against the car to collect herself. From across the parking lot, she saw Seth Waters leaning against his truck, one foot crossed over the other, drinking a beer, probably enjoying the show. She gave him a shrug and wandered over in his direction.
Pretty fun being a parent, huh?
He greeted her.
It's taking my daughter a while to adjust.
I thought kids loved the beach, he said. There seems to be a lot to do here.
There is, but Sabrina wants someone to do things with. We left her best friend behind, and she misses her dad.
Ah, so at least he was a good dad,
Seth said, and took another swig from his bottle.
No, but she misses him all the same.
I get that. Kids love their parents no matter what.
Do you have kids?
Nope.
Another swig.
Known some pretty big losers who did, though. The kids didn't seem to care. Dad's their dad no matter what.
Jenna sighed. And Mom gets to be the bad guy.
I guess somebody has to.
He nodded in the direction of the house.
She reminds me of my little sister at that age. Monica was always in a snit about something one minute, then happy the next. Is that a chick thing?
Hormones, Jenna said.
He grinned. Oh, yeah, those. Well, you've got some fun years ahead of you.
Thanks for the warning, she said with a frown, and left him. So Seth Waters had a sister. One more bit of information pulled out of him. No kids, though. No woman? He was too good-looking not to at least have a girlfriend. What was his story? Whatever it was, she'd pry it out of him eventually. It wasn't fair that he was learning so much about her and she still knew so little about him.
You're a blabbermouth, she scolded herself. But no wonder, with everything going on in her life, she needed a shrink,
or at least a listening ear. Seth may not have been all that great at talking, but he was good at listening. She was sure Aunt Edie had dinner ready, but she opted not to go in the house. Instead, she headed for the beach and some downtime. Being at the water's edge was so calming, better than drugs, not that she'd ever taken drugs, but still. She walked along the sand and watched as the tide came in. Someone had left behind a sandcastle, and the waves were slowly eating it. A couple of middle-aged women passed her with smiles and nods. Farther down the beach, a pair of young marrieds strolled holding hands completely into each other. The view was wasted on them. Jenna frowned.
Don't be jealous, she scolded herself.
She had a new start and beautiful setting to do it in. She had a dinner date for Saturday, and her daughter was safe. She found a log and sat, watching the sunlight dance on the water. A flock of sanderlings were playing tag with the surf, running up to the edge and then racing away when the tide came after them. A gull flew overhead. She took a deep breath and closed her eyes, letting the early evening sun settle on her shoulders. Her life wasn't perfect, but at least she had a beautiful place to do her worrying. After a while, the temperature dropped and she ambled back to the house. She found her daughter seated at the kitchen table with her aunt playing cards.
"Where were you?" Sabrina greeted her. "Aunt Edie was worried."
"Oh, no, I knew you were fine," protested Aunt Edie.
"You should tell people where you're going," Sabrina taunted.
"I have hamburger casserole left in the oven," said Aunt Edie, determined to stay neutral in a possible mother-daughter skirmish.
"It's really good," Sabrina added. She laid down her cards and cried, "Gin, I got you, Aunt Edie."
"You surely did," said Aunt Edie.
"Call the cops," suggested Roger from his kitchen perch.
Jenna shook her head. There it was, a scene of domestic bliss. One would never guess that only a little while ago her daughter was having a hate affair with her new home. Yep, those moods were like the weather at the beach, highly changeable. Maybe if Jenna was lucky, that good mood would last for a while. Maybe they were in for some sunny weather. A mom could hope.
Chapter 9. To do. Order business cards. Set up spare bedroom for massage. Put on makeup. Thursday morning was rainy, so Jenna opted to give her muscles a break and work on getting her business up and running, ordering business cards online and setting up her massage room in the spare downstairs bedroom that had been Uncle Ralph's den. Of course, at breakfast, Sabrina wanted to know what they were going to do that day, as in fun and games. She'd been itching to get out with her kite, but not in the rain, and now she was frustrated and in need of a social director.
"I thought it was supposed to be sunny at the beach," she grumbled.
"It should be nicer tomorrow," predicted Jenna, the weather girl. Sabrina wasn't impressed with her weather forecast. Aunt Edie came to the rescue with plans for baking cookies that met with Sabrina's approval.
"And then maybe you can help me clean Roger's cage."
Sabrina hadn't looked quite so excited about that, but she politely agreed, and when Aunt Edie promised to teach her how to play canasta afterward, she perked up. "First, though, you can help me carry in my massage things from the garage," Jenna said.
"And then we'll bake our cookies," Aunt Edie added, sensing a mutiny.
Sabrina heaved a long, suffering sigh and followed Jenna to the garage.
"My, there is a lot," Aunt Edie observed as Jenna set up her equipment.
She pointed to Jenna's old turkey roaster, which had been a garage sale find, and the ancient microwave sitting next to it on the repurposed bookcase.
"Are you going to be cooking?"
"No, I use the microwave to warm up my damp towels, and the turkey roaster serves as my stone warmer. The real deal costs a couple $100, and as for the towels, well, Mom's old microwave was a lot cheaper than a towel, cabbie."
"You are so resourceful," Aunt Edie said.
"I don't know if I'd go that far."
"I'm certainly impressed."
Jenna smiled at her.
"You impress easily." "Not really. You are a wonderful girl, darling one."
If only Damien had felt the same way. They could have all been down here at the beach, starting this new adventure together. Jenna shrugged off the moment of sadness. She was having enough adventure without him. She didn't need the cheater. She stood back and admired her handiwork. In addition to her warming equipment, blankets and towels, she had her CD player for relaxing music, her aromatherapy oils, and her massage oils. Her little desk looked cute in the corner with a vase of silk daisies sitting on it. Another small bookcase held her copies of Massage Therapy Journal, along with a box of tissues for the inevitable runny nose clients would get while lying on their tummies.
"Now, I just need a sign to hang outside the house," she said.
"Maybe Seth can make me one."
"Seth?"
"Our new resident handyman," Jenna reminded her.
"Oh, yes. I caught a glimpse of him this morning when I went out to get the paper. A very nice-looking young man."
Aunt Edie added, and watched for Jenna's reaction.
Yep, back in Cupid mode.
He's okay, Jenna said, keeping her expression neutral.
I'd like to meet him. Maybe we could invite him over for dinner, Aunt Edie added slyly.
I'll make sure you meet him, Jenna promised, but we're already feeding Pete all the time. We don't need any more mouths to feed. Although the idea of spending more time getting to know the mysterious Seth Waters was tempting, the mention of Pete's mooching made Aunt Edie frown.
I'd better get Sabrina started on those cookies, she said, and disappeared before the topic of Pete could be further discussed.
Jenna shook her head and got to work designing some flyers on her computer. Like rust and mold, Pete was an inescapable irritation here at the beach. Soon the aroma of baking chocolate drifted into her.
Stay put, she commanded herself. Don't go into temptation land.
If she even set a toe in the kitchen, she'd wind up inhaling chocolate chip cookies. She was about to cave, right when Sabrina entered her office bearing a dessert plate with one lone cookie on it.
I brought you a sample, she said, setting it on the desk.
Aw, that was sweet, Jenna said. Yes, those moments when she wasn't the hated, meanest mom in the world were worth more than sunken treasure.
Aunt Edie wanted me to put more on the plate, but I knew you'd only want one, Sabrina added.
You did good, Jenna said.
Then, as her daughter was standing there waiting for her verdict, she took a bite.
Yum!
Sabrina beamed and went back to the kitchen, and Jenna went back to work smiling. Yes, life was getting better. The morning slipped by on that nice, even keel as Jenna worked on odds and ends of paperwork. She was posting her new location on her business Facebook page when a shriek from her daughter had her racing into the kitchen. Roger's cage sat on the kitchen table, and Roger was on his perch, walking back and forth, feathers ruffled. Sabrina was holding her bleeding hand and howling, and Aunt Edie was trying to attend to it with a wet paper towel.
What happened? Jenna asked, hurrying over.
He bit me, Sabrina cried, tears in her eyes. I just wanted to pet him, and he bit me.
I'm so sorry, fretted Aunt Edie. I should have warned her about fast movements. She startled him.
My finger's bleeding, wailed Sabrina.
It'll be okay, Jenna said, putting an arm around her.
I hate that bird.
He was only protecting himself, Jenna said, as Aunt Edie rushed off in search of hydrogen peroxide, her cure-all for every wound.
He's mean.
He's really not. Aunt Edie will show you how to work with him.
I don't want to know how to work with him. I hate him, and I hate it here.
She began to cry in earnest. Jenna pulled her into a hug and assured her everything would be okay. She realized she meant those words as much for herself as for Sabrina. Aunt Edie dressed the wound, and Jenna found aspirin. Then Sabrina was seated at the kitchen table with ice and a plate of the cookies she and Aunt Edie had baked, while Aunt Edie hurried to fetch the canasta deck. Another crisis survived. With her daughter settled down, Jenna went to check on how the motel was surviving the rain. Some damp drizzles on the walls of several rooms told her she was going to have to invest in tarp for the roof sooner than later, and she drove to Beach Lumber and Hardware to stock up and pick up paint. She was on her way to her car when her mom called to check in.
"Thought I'd give you a quick call while I'm on my lunch break," Mel said. "How's it going down there?"
"Well, let's see. Jolly Roger bit Sabrina, and she hates it here, and the motel roof is leaking like a sieve. I'm on my way to the hardware store to buy tarp."
"Adventures in paradise," Mel murmured.
"Something like that."
"How are you holding up?"
"Okay. The place really does have potential. I just have to figure out where I'm going to get the money to do all the work."
"How much do you need?"
"We're probably going to need $50,000. There was a moment of silence on the other end of the call. Then,
"Oh."
"Yeah, oh. But don't worry, I'll work something out. It's summer. I won't have to deal with the roof until September." And of course by then, money would have magically fallen from heaven.
"Maybe we can all chip in," said her mother.
After their conversation the previous month, Jenna wasn't holding her breath.
It'll work out.
She believed that. Yes, she did. If you build it, they will come. All good things come to she who waits.